Buildings stand for more than a third of the total energy use in mainland Norway, and more than 50% of the total electricity use. So if we can make buildings more energy efficient, it will have a great impact on the energy system. The current political goal is to reduce energy use from buildings with 10 terawatt hours by 2030. But how do we know that we're on the right track to reach this goal? And are we sure that the goal is realistic? Or should it be set higher or lower? Today, I'll talk to a scientist that's made a model for such calculations. He thinks that we should use open data to help set realistic goals. My name is Karolinski, and this is a podcast from SINTEF. The topic in this podcast is energy efficiency in buildings, and I'm infinite buildings and miles away from my guest, Igor Sartori. You're a researcher in SINTEF, and you're on the other end of a digital call. Hello, Igor.
Hello, Karoline.
So you're in Oslo, and I'm situated here in Trondheim, but I can see you on my mobile on the side here. So I'm glad to meet you, Igor. I'm excited to learn more about your research. I have introduced today's topic of energy efficiency buildings very briefly. And the reason why I wanted to talk to you today is that you have co-authored an article on the subject that's gotten quite a lot of publicity. So could you please tell me and our listeners about this article and your findings?
Yes. Sure. The article is about the political goal set in Norway of saving 10 terawatt hours per year from the energy use of the building stock by 2030. And we analyze whether we are on track or not to meet this target and what else is realistically possible. I'll say the major findings are two. First is that there is some confusion about the goal, how it has been formulated and how it has been interpreted by different actors. But when we make some clarity around it, then we can say that unfortunately, no, we are not on track to meet that goal. The second outcome, major outcome, is that it is still possible in theory to achieve that goal and also do better than that in the longer term. Like saving the double, 20 terawatt hours by 2050. But this will not happen by itself. There need to be some incentive in place to change the status quo, which is that in average only one every five buildings get renovated with substantial energy efficiency improvements. And when you have lost that train, then you have lost it for the next 40 to 50 years.
Okay, so time is of the essence. And as with all other climate actions, we have to step up the game to reach these goals. So I've read several editorial pieces referring to your article earlier this spring. Why do you think that the article has gotten so much attention?
I think it is mainly due to timing. It's not the first time that an article like this gets published either in Norway or elsewhere. But now the circumstances are a bit different. For one thing, there is an increasing attention in the societal debate about climate change and how to limit it as much as possible. And new targets and policy are coming out. Every day, there are a lot of talks in also at European level about carbon neutrality and a new green European deal, which includes a renovation wave for the buildings. And this has come down to also very concrete, explicit political goals like this one in Norway. And so that anchors our paper to some concrete political context instead of being only an academic exercise of its own. And then, of course, there is the current situation with the war in Ukraine and the consequent energy crisis that has pushed the cost of energy sky high all all around Europe, including Norway. So now it is very clear to people, very tangible, that saving energy would also mean saving money, not only the environment.
Okay, so the timing, that's sounds like it's perfect in a way now. But this is a subject that you've worked on for several years, right? So I was wondering if you could help me and the listeners understand better what your specific contribution is to this work, because your field, that's computer models.
Yeah, I have actually taken my PhD just on the modeling of energy demand in building stocks. That was a few springs ago. Back then, I developed the core of a model that has since then been further developed by other PhD students and then other researchers, also colleague of mine now. And we now call this model Rebuild. And yeah, this has been used already in a number of projects and scientific publications. One of the main things that this model does is to estimate what we could call the natural need for renovation, which is due to the aging of the building stock. It is based on historical records and future expectation of population growth and some nerdish stuff like probability functions for renovation and demolition, convolutions that keep all this flow meaningfully together. But also some parameters that we call lifestyle indicators. These are a bit easier to understand. Mm-hmm. And these are things like a number of persons living per dwelling and average size of dwellings or other type of buildings. And these kind of indicators have also changed quite drastically over a long period, thus creating this evolving demand for living space and working space. So our model takes a long time approach. It starts back from when the earliest population statistics are available, from 1800, and it makes projection until 2100.
So it's, these are numbers from Norway, the population?
Yeah, these are, yeah. This is all for Norway, yes. And so considering also that buildings have in average a very long lifetime, over 100 years, it is necessary to have this large time perspective to capture how the stock has changed and now it can still continue to change.
Okay, so that's an impressive time span. You have over more than 100 years of data. But with so much data available, what do you get out from your model? What's the output?
Yeah, the output is that we can estimate what is the amount of renovation, demolition and new construction that we can expect in a period. In this case, we analyzed the period between 2015 and 2050. The model covers all type of buildings, residential and non-residential. We only exclude industrial buildings from the analysis. And we have, for example, considered the three scenarios. So one, the first is the baseline, where we continue the recent trends into the future. And we, from this scenario, we see that the energy demand is actually likely to increase slightly. Yeah. Then we have a second scenario where we show what is the potential for energy efficiency, meaning a thorough renovation of the thermal envelope of a building. If this was carried out in all buildings that will undergo renovation instead of only one out of five, as it is the situation per today. In this case, we see that every single building can cut off the energy bill by more than one third. But in total, we only see a flattening of the energy demand because we are getting more and more buildings meanwhile, because there is population growth, there is urbanization. So the total effect is just a leveling out. And then the third and last scenario introduces also very efficient heating technologies on top of the renovation, mm-hmm. like water-based heat pumps. These are very efficient, but they can only work well in well-insulated buildings, which have a waterborne system like radiators or floor heating, which is not common in Norway. Mm. And therefore, it is an intrusive measure. We consider it is meaningful to introduce it only when there is a renovation work ongoing. People wouldn't do it otherwise. You don't do it overnight. And in this case, every single building can spare more than 60%. And the overall effect will make it to achieve the 10 terawatt hours goal by 2030. But as said, yeah, this requires quite a lot of changes from today's situation. So it's not a path on which we are set that will happen by itself.
Yeah. Okay, these are three very different scenarios. And I would say I would like the sound of the last scenario best, of course, but that, as you said, these calls for intrusive measures. So I must say that I fear that we're heading for the first, where energy demand increases and does not decrease as the goal is. So what is it that makes the difference between these scenarios?
I would say that the key element is the renovation rate. How many buildings undergo renovation? There is something also from the new buildings, if they are built a bit better than otherwise, but the major thing is the renovation. And this is also an easy element to tune in a model, that you could just tune it up and down and obtain more or less what you want in the results. And I think this is one of the most valuable features of our model, that it does not require the modeler to make assumption or guesses about the renovation rate, but it produced the renovation rate as an output after having given all those information on the evolution of population and what was built in the past, as I said, tried to say briefly before. So that really makes a difference, because it takes off the control of this regulating valve from the hands of the modeler, and it puts it into a mathematical model. So you only have to live with what you get. And so, we obtain a renovation rate that is not fully exploited, because per today, only 1 out of 5 of those renovations are really done in an efficient way.
This hits me. I feel like I'm really a part of the statistics because I've bought a few houses and flats in my life, but I've never built from scratch. That would maybe be one of the more sustainable or more energy efficient ways to build a house. But when I've done something, I must admit that energy saving, that's not always on top of my investment list. It's expensive. So I guess maybe most people are like me. 4 out of 5, they think of practical and economic considerations. So does this stand in the way for the political ambitions? Is it impossible to reach these goals?
I would say no, that is not impossible. But the policy making should be considering all the difficulties and the barriers that are not only economical that are on the way. This is a too long chapter to discuss now, but I can rather say what is the most common mistake, I think, from the policymaking side, is that policymaking is based on some studies which are a little bit too optimistic, or they take it a bit too easy, because they normally assume renovation rate is around 1% per today of the stock, which is actually confirmed by the result of our models too. But then it is easily assumed that okay, all these 1% is or can be immediately used, exploited as energy efficient renovation. And then rather the political target is that we shall push this renovation rate to become the double or 3 times as much. But this is simply not possible.
You don't see it in your models that it's possible?
No, we don't see it happening. The stock is aging, therefore it gets more and more in need for renovation. But this naturally occurring renovation rate will only increase to circa 1.5% by the mid of the century. So we have to live with what we get, and we cannot expect people to make a major renovation of their house or office just because they want to save energy or because the government says so. But there is already a long way to go to make those renovation that happened today to be all of them energy efficient rather than only 105. That's already a big leap forward, if that can happen.
So we spoke earlier, and as I hear you now, I think that you said that calculations, they're only an estimate of a possible future. It's what you have just said. So I have to ask you, why should we put more trust in your model than other models?
Yeah, good question. I can say that all models are wrong and some are useful. I dare hope that our may be useful to someone someday. But first of all, more concretely, well, at least I can say that our model, the description of it and how it is applied, it's all documented in peer-reviewed scientific publications. So at least the method, the assumption and the inputs are all transparent and they are open for scrutiny. That's for one thing. And for another, we also have made a calibration of our model with available statistics of the recent past. For some reason, doesn't make sense to go too much in the past in this case, but we go back 10 years. So we start from 2020 and then we do a backcasting, which is the opposite of forecasting, in back to 2010. And we observe that we keep a consistently good match with the statistics. That means that the model is quite robust, that also the dynamics of it appear calibrated, not only a single point. It's a bit like a difference between making a video or taking a snapshot. Many other models are based on a snapshot. Our is based on a short video.
Okay, so it's more detailed, longer. It's better. And also, as you say, it's peer-reviewed, so I know that this is of the essence for science. So you describe what I think is an impressive tool, and it sounds like it could help us set more realistic goals for building industry. So Igor, I'd like to give you a last challenge to round up our talk. Could you highlight how your model can set speed to better energy efficiency in buildings?
Well, to be completely frank, a model can hardly help speed up such a gigantic effort for a society as this of making the building stock more efficient. But what it can help is to set realistic goals and with a realistic timing so that we can avoid false expectations and then the disillusionment and the loss of faith in the cause that come as a consequence of it. The dramatist Bertolt Brecht has said once that the aim of science is not to open the door to infinite wisdom, but rather to set a limit to an otherwise infinite error. And so, yes, perhaps it is simply so that the building stock can change, even significantly. After all, it has always done that, but it cannot do it faster than such. And this is one aspect that our model seems to capture. So the lessons that can be learned could be that the political goals and the policy making should also be devised with a long-term perspective in mind. And striving to harvest gradual changes would be a wiser and more realistic approach than deluding ourselves with short-term frenzies.
Okay. So we have to accept that it takes time, but we are still in a hurry.
Yes, and Harry is not a good advisor normally.
But we have to do the right things.
What we try to do is to provide tools that help policymaking in this case. So we are trying to provide advising in a way.
Yeah. And I.
If something has to take time, I suppose it just has to take time.
Yeah. It's. I think that's a good advice, and it's a good key takeaway from our talk. Thank you, Igor. It's been interesting.
Thanks to you, Caroline.
To learn more about your work. What I hear is that you want to contribute to improving the goals set for energy efficiency. So let us hope that the model and the work from you and your colleagues in SINTEF will help us put us on the right track. So I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. And I hope this podcast will help in focusing the attention on good things.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for today. Bye.
This has been a podcast from SINTEF. If you're interested in learning more, you can find contact information and more on this subject on sintef.com.